Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Reverend Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week with programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These southern pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And welcome indeed, Under a Shady Tree. This is Reverend Terry Power HP, and I'm joined by Lord Onyx tonight. We are two southern pagan boys just hanging out under a shady tree. Pull up a seat, grab some sweet iced tea, as the intro says, and join us for a little bit of conversation. Hey, Onyx, how are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful tonight. Steamy night out here in North Carolina. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but when you walk outside, it feels like you're walking into a shower. But at least it's not cold.
It's not cold. Yeah, some people today were fussing about the heat up here in Pennsylvania, and I told them that I had vowed that back during the winter, I had vowed that if this would just end the damn cold, that I would spend the summer, I would suffer through whatever I had to in the summer, but I would not fuss about the heat.
I hear you. That is exactly right. How cold it was this summer. It was colder than the brass toilet seat on the shady side of an igloo this winter.
Yeah, man. I couldn't have said it better myself. So tonight, we are going to be talking about representing our faith out into the community and just talking about how to, how to put a good face on our faith. And we're going to talk about some good ideas and some maybe not so good ideas. And we are going to be taking callers tonight at 646-564-9714. Again, that is 646-564-9714. Make sure you hit the 1 button to let us know you want to talk, because if we see you in the switchboard and you don't have the 1 button hit, we're going to presume that you just called in to listen, that you couldn't get to the internet, so you called in to listen, and that's perfectly legitimate. We love to have listeners however you guys can get to us, but if you want to talk, you got to hit the 1 button. So, Onyx, what are your thoughts about tonight's topic?
Well, I think, bottom line, everything boils down to this. Be a good person who happens to be pagan, not a pagan who's a good person. And I think that's something that we need to understand, that, you know, we're all part of the Belly Button Club, and anybody that has or has had a belly button anytime in their life can be a member of this exclusive club. And our expression of faith just happens to be our expression of faith. And that has no bearing on whether we're good or bad. And obviously good and bad are subjective, but I think everybody understands what I'm talking about within a broad brush kind of way. You know, be honest, keep that integrity, present yourself well, just stay away from the victim mentality. Try your best to maintain that that good mental health. And I'm not talking about, you know, there are people with mental health illnesses. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about be healthy mentally. Keep yourself in as good a space as you are capable of doing at the time, and present that. Be positive. This is not just to show people that pagans are great people, but to show people that pagans are people.
Yeah,
and
that's
it. That our faith works for us. If we're going around and we're always knee-jerking to everything that happens that might possibly be somehow turned and twisted and construed to be discrimination, and we're yelling and screaming about it, but then we turn around and talk about our faith being one of empowerment and our ability to co-create our own universe, those two messages are crossed. That those two messages don't work together. Be happy about who you are. And if you're not happy about who you are, then work toward being happy with who you are. There is nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm not happy with who I am, and looking in the mirror and go, who am I? Who do I want to be? But the bottom line is, be good first. Be good first. Be a good person who happens to be pagan. You know, take off these hubcap-sized pentacles hanging around our necks. Take those off. You know, we don't need to wave the 10-foot storm flag everywhere we go.
You don't want to wear your rapper bling?
No, not rapper bling. You know, I mean, if you're a rapper, then so be it. If you're into that culture, so be it. But, you know, not just because you're pagan. I understand that some people in some other faiths wear the bling, you know, the large bling too. But, you know, who are they trying to convince? Who are we trying to convince when we do that? If we're wearing this, you know, this foot diameter pentacle around our neck, who are we trying to convince that we're pagan? The people who are looking at us or ourselves?
No, I don't think that's necessarily always the case.
Are we trying to draw? Another thing is, we could be just trying to draw fire.
There it is.
Because if we're trying to draw fire, we can scream discrimination. Oh, poor me.
I think that there is a certain amount of seeking confrontation that still goes on. And again, when you've got, you know, most of the people in our communities are not raised in our communities. They're coming into it from somewhere else, and they've got issues with wherever they left or they wouldn't have left. I understand that. You know, you don't leave a faith community because you're happy there.
Right.
So there's obviously something that's missing, or you have a problem, you know, with where you were. And that's perfectly legitimate. I mean, that's understandable. That's a great reason to be looking for another expression of faith in some place that you're happier with. But maintaining that level of rebellion after you find something, I think that a lot of the in your face is intended to attract attention, and then when they get the attention, they can say, see, we're just oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not sure that that's the way that we should be representing ourselves out in the world.
Reminds me of the openings, or one of the very early on in the opening scenes of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Do you remember the scene? Help, help, he's oppressing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of that whole passive-aggressive thing until King Arthur grabs him, and then he goes, help, help, he's oppressing me. See, do you see? This is what happens type stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
You know, I wear a pentacle.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an inch in diameter, and it usually stays tucked inside my shirt. I wear a pentacle ring that is less than an inch in diameter, probably a little over a half an inch in diameter, and it's just a piece of jewelry on my hand, and some people occasionally ask me about it. I have answers. When someone says, well, what is that? I explain that it's a symbol of my faith and that I'm Wiccan, and then when they ask what Wicca is, I will have some answer.
You know what to say.
Yeah. That will involve what I do believe, which is kind of, I think you touched on it last night, and I made some comments in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things that we've just got to work on, and it's probably going to be one of those conversations that we have right and regularly
mm-hmm.
on this network. It is one of my greatest hopes is that we will get to a point where people are talking about their faith in a way that expresses positive statements.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we don't believe in the devil. I don't care, and most people don't.
We didn't ask what you didn't believe in. We asked what you do believe in.
Exactly. So I explain that to my way of operating, Wicca is an earth-based religion. It is based somewhat on the our understanding of the practices of the pre-Christians in Northern Europe and the British Isles mostly, although there are people that do follow different pantheons, but the framework is generally based on our understanding of the practices of these people in the pre-Christian times in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually enough for people to go, okay,
and
that sounds interesting, and then they're done with it.
Is it. Now, something that, coming from a sales background at one point, moving through executive sales and things, there's a technique that I used to use and teach that is very simply called the elevator speech. And it can be adapted very easily to this type of situation. What an elevator speech is in sales is that the concept is you have about as much time to get somebody's attention as it takes for a normal elevator ride, and that's why it's called the elevator speech. So in sales, you want to engage them. You want to let them know what the product is. You want to let them know why your product is – you want to deliver a value statement. You want to tell them why your product is different than everybody else's product. And then you want to tell them why you believe in the product. And you want to end with an open-ended question. Now, obviously, we're not out for sales pitch.
Right. We're not selling.
But if somebody asks us, the concept is still valid. If somebody asks us, well, what do you believe? Well, you've got about 20 to 30 seconds to get their attention and deliver what you want to say. And just as in salesmanship, that elevator speech is rehearsed, and it is designed very specifically to state what you want it to state very quickly, very succinctly, you know, up front, quick, and in a hurry, so to speak. You want to give them a hook. So when somebody asks you what you believe. I believe, boom. Or what is Wicca? Well, Wicca is, boom. What's your religion? I am Wiccan. Boom. And you just deliver it. You got 20 to 30 seconds. Because after that, the mind strays, and you want to leave them with enough information so that they understand, at least from a general point of view, what Wicca's about, or whatever your faith group happens to be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be paganism or Wicca. Whatever that expression of faith happens to be. and leave them with enough information that they can formulate questions if they want to, but not to force the issue.
Right. And the back of my business cards has the first sentence of each of the We Believe statements, a Corellian creed, done up as a small card, are done up, you know, and when I did the rosary, I created this small card with the first sentences, and it was intended to be a little truncated version that you could carry this wallet card, laminated on one side was a Corellian creed, first sentence of each statement, and on the other side was a couple of small prayers, one to say on the small knots and one to say on the large knots.
Right.
And so you could carry this hand-knotted cord and a little wallet card and basically carry it around with you, and you could do this meditative rosary anywhere. But what also happened was when I started using that, people would ask me about my faith, and I would explain it like I just did, but then I'd say, if you want more information, and I started having this printed on the back of my business cards.
Right.
Because it was done on a business card size stock, so it could easily be carried in someone's wallet.
Right.
And so I just had it printed on the back of my business card. So I say, if you want more information, here's my email address, and here's my... here's a little bit about what we believe, just right there on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them an encapsulation of a Corellian creed, which is a fairly open framework for any Gaiist or most Wiccans.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about, I wanted to revisit something that I kind of got off on a tangent, and I didn't kind of express what I do is we're talking about jewelry, and they're talking about in the chat room as well. But when I do wear a faith symbol, I kind of take the easy way out, and I don't wear a pentacle or a pentagram, so to speak, or whatever. I wear a third-degree symbol. Most people don't know what it is. So those who do know, know. And those who don't go, oh, that's a pretty little star with a triangle over it. So I kind of take the easy way out there. But then again, you know, I can't hide from it too much because, you know, the license plate on the back of the license plate frame on the back of my car says, "Do not meddle in the affairs of witches," and has pentacles, you know, pentagrams on it. It's not that I can hide too much, and when I said I take the easy way out. That's not the intent. It's just that happens to be my favorite piece of craft jewelry that I own. You know, I've got several of them, from just a regular interwoven pent to a raven perched on top of a pent to a raven holding a pent in its mouth. Just, you know, several different things.
I'm not into jewelry that much, so I don't have but the two pieces I've already described.
There for a while, Buffalo was working with me as well, so I've got a Buffalo tooth necklace that every once in a while when he comes back around, I wear. But generally speaking, if I wear any jewelry other than the raven necklace that is almost perpetually on me, then it's the third pent that I generally have on, because I like where it hangs. I like the way it looks. I never really thought about it being something that most people wouldn't know what it is. It's just my favorite piece of craft jewelry, so that's what I wear. Now, when Willow and I wear our hand fasting bands, we don't always, but when we do, for those who happen to get close enough to see them, it's a dead giveaway too, because it's got Theban script around the outside of it and two pens on it. They're on them, each one of them, you know, has Theban script and two pens on it. So if they're close enough to see them, then, you know, that's kind of a dead giveaway too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the ring that I wear, and it's a simple, you know, pentacle, and it's got some Celtic knotwork on the band. But anyone that asks, I will give them that answer, and sometimes they'll say, oh, well, that's interesting, and ask more questions, and sometimes they'll just look at me and go, oh, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Had a landlord here in Pennsylvania. I was moving into an apartment that he owned, and I'd been staying with a friend that he rented to, and as we're signing the paperwork and the lease and everything, he saw the ring, and he said, I think I know what that means, and he asked me a couple of questions, and I told him yes, and he said what I have found to be the most amazing and strange thing for someone to say when they saw or when they identified me as a Wiccan or pagan. And he said, but Terry, you're educated, you're well-spoken, you dress well, you have a nice job, and you're moving into one of my nice places. Why would you wear that ring? And I said, because I'm Wiccan. He says, but why would you open yourself up to, you know, any kind of reaction that people would have to it? And I said, but this is how I want to represent my faith. I want people to see me and get to know me and then go, oh, he's also a Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a Wiccan in the neighborhood. I want to be the neighbor who is Wiccan.
There you go. It goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. Be a good person who happens to be Wiccan.
Right. And
not
where
a Wiccan
I work,
who happens to be a good person.
And where I work, you know, there's one person that's not really terribly fond of my faith, but we still work together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not been any problems. But then around the office, everybody there knows I'm Wiccan, and sometimes people will ask a question, and there'll be a Sabbat coming up. They'll hear something on this news or something. They'll ask me questions.
Right.
And, you know, so sometimes I'll get some of that. Most of the time, I'm just another guy that works in the office with them.
Right.
You know, like I said, except for this one person, and it's... That's more a whiny thing than a problem thing.
Right.
So, So anyway, I want to remind everyone that we are taking calls tonight at 646-564-9714. If you're interested in joining in on the conversation, we would be happy to have you with us. And join in the fun. Tell us your ideas about how you think we should be representing our faith. Again, that number is 646-564-9714. And again, make sure you hit the 1 button to throw up a little flag in the switchboard and lets us know that you want to talk. So anyway, we were talking about the jewelry, and then we'd kind of moved on to the elevator speech. The idea that, you know, we want to have some kind of answer. You know, first and foremost, you want to have some kind of answer that states a positive expression. I believe. I don't want to hear what someone doesn't believe. I don't want to hear about where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I know the history and the theology of the church. I used to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
I taught early church history. I don't need to know about them. I already know about them. I want to know about you. And when someone's asking you, what do you believe? That's what they want to know. They want to know about you.
Right.
And so we've got to get away from this state of rebellion. Finding another faith because of a state of rebellion. Again, I said this earlier, that's perfectly understandable.
Right.
But how many of these people that we're talking about, and we know who we're talking about, you know, come on, guys. How many of these people are Wiccan only because, or Wiccan or pagan or whatever, outside the norm,
mm-hmm.
Faith group they belong to, how many of them are that way or there for rebellion?
Right.
If you know, and this question has been asked, and I wish I could take credit for asking this question first. It's actually in the Corellian third degree material.
It is. I know where you're going.
As to who first asked the question. And it's one of the former first priestess regents. And she asks the question, if Wicca was the predominant religion in America or in your country, whatever, would you still want to be Wiccan?
Would and you if you still can't be answer Wiccan? Yes to that, then you need to look deep inside. If you can't answer yes with a deep, resounding conviction and a deep understanding, deep down inside, a soul conviction, then you need to go back and look at why you're Wiccan. Bottom line. You agree?
Absolutely. You need to be looking at why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not playing. This is not dress-up time. This is not about rebellion. This is my faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I believe.
I've been pagan since
1986. This is how I choose...
Yeah. I've been pagan since 1986. I have never been plagued, and I never will be.
Yeah. I mean, I started working with energy in the early 80s, and I mean, maybe some of the people here have not heard my story, and
I didn't give a date there for, you know, how long it's been. I'm just, you know, when I came to paganism, I didn't come as a player. When I came to paganism, it was a solid commitment, and I'm pagan, not plagan. I have never been plagan, and I never will be plagan.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This is my faith. This is my expression of faith. And as far as I know at this point, this will always be my expression of faith. I will always be me. I can't do anything else.
Right. Now, I was going to tell my story.
Oh,
yes,
absolutely.
Not because of...
It's interesting.
Of how I, you know, how I want to, you know, impress people with how long I've been doing this or any of that kind of crap.
Now, I think your story I've heard it.
I really don't care.
I think your story is very interesting. I would love to hear it. But you want to take a break first before we do that?
I guess we can do that. And since we're on the topic, there's just a song that we have in the switchboard in the queue here it's one of my favorite pagan songs just because it's so damn much fun. But it really, really, really goes to the topic tonight. And that is by Murphy's Midnight Rounders, The Wreck of the Modern Pagan. Sit back, listen in, and enjoy the chuckles. We'll be back about 7 or 8 minutes. Hang around.
Plastic candles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print to praise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me cause she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great bread consistent. circle round, and S8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says let someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is strictly druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Grimassi, and the Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's a one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meat or brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass is true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman.
come back in another life if I get it wrong.
You're listening to Under a Shady Tree on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Terry and Onyx.
We'll move you to Virginia. All right, and we are back. I'm loving this bumper music. We had some fun doing those rejoins. So, anyway, welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power HP, and I'm joined with by Lord Onyx, and we are just a couple of Southern pagan boys sitting up under a shady tree. So, hey, Onyx, are you back with us?
I am indeed having fun, and we are here discussing how best to present ourselves in the community. So that we are a good representative of our faith.
Absolutely. Now, before the break, I had gotten ready to tell my story, and had a couple of people in the chat room were like, yes, go ahead, please. So we did get to the bottom of the hour, so I'll go ahead and share that now. Basically, I have always known and sensed the presence of the divine. Some years ago asked me, how could I be so sure that there was, at that time it was, you know, it was God in my world. And I said, well, I said, have you ever noticed how I can sense someone else's presence and I'm an empath? And they said, yeah, I've noticed that. And I said, I can sense the presence of the divine in exactly the same way that I can feel that you are there, that I can tell you how many people are sitting behind me. I can feel the presence, and I can feel the presence of the divine. Even then, though, I knew that there was more. I knew that there was something more than this closed off world that and faith expression that I was living in, but I didn't know exactly what. I kept searching, I kept thinking and meditating, and spent a great deal of time studying, and ultimately, growing up in the Episcopal Church, I had a certain amount of latitude, and I studied church history. I studied theology. I sought an understanding, and then Star Wars came out, and I'm sitting there watching Star Wars, and I realized that the story and the concept of the Force was exactly what I understood. And I finally realized that someone else got it. Now, it was some years later, I was sitting around in a church office in Dayton, Ohio, having a conversation with the local priest where I attended church. As we were wont to do, we would have long, rambling conversations into the evening sometimes, hanging out. And I said something about my understanding of the divine, and he said, well, that's the such-and-such heresy. I honestly don't remember the name. I just recognized that it was not just heresy, it was a named heresy. And I realized, perhaps the jig is up. Perhaps it is time for me to look beyond the box that I was operating in at the time. And this was in the very late 90s. It was somewhere around 1999-ish that I found Wicca. Now, in the early 80s, I'd been given a copy of Helping Yourself with White Witchcraft by Al Manning. And I'd been doing energy work for, 15 or so years before I found Wicca. And when I found Wicca, I pretty much knew that I had come home. And I joined the Corellian tradition, and I've been there since. And, none of that, again, is to say that, because I've been doing it so long, I'm so much, this or that. It's to explain that when I enter into interfaith dialogue, and when I embrace an opportunity to speak with someone that has a different expression of faith, when I incorporate things that I learned in that time period, I certainly will not be one of the people that throws out the baby with the bathwater. I've talked to Wiccans. I've spoken at events, and people say, "Well, we don't pray. We're Wiccans. The church. Those people pray." No, we pray, and there's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with There's nothing wrong with a lot of what the church does. Okay, there are bad people in every faith. There are fundamentalist people and rigid people and people that will do bad things in the name of love, which fascinates me, but that's another topic. How we can do bad things to people in the name of love is anathema to my very existence. So, Reverend Onyx, I'm going to ask a small favor of you.
Sure.
I'm going to ask if you would type more quietly.
Certainly. For those of you that don't know, I know you hear it out there, but I'm very heavy-handed on a keyboard. I learned to type on a manual typewriter, and I am forever getting crap from everybody who knows me about how heavy it sounds when I'm typing. My better half here talks about it. The Proto Temple members here talk about it. One of them even told me that, if I wanted to hit it any harder, I would need a hammer. But I learned to type on a manual typewriter, and I haven't got into that whole touch typing thing quite yet. So I apologize out there for the clickety clickety click. And I will stop. So if anybody's wanting a response from me, I know it's distracting, and I apologize.
So anyway, I don't tolerate bashing. And now you understand where I come from and why. For 2,000 and plus years, a group of people have followed the teachings of a manifestation of the divine that they understand as Jesus the Christ. And for a couple of thousand years, they mostly got it okay. There have been small pockets of individuals that have acted badly in the name of love, again, anathema. But by and large, everyone on this planet is seeking the same thing, and we're generally doing it in love and peace. And we don't want confrontation. Most people want to live their life and worship how they feel is appropriate to them and go on about it. So don't deal with bashing, group bashing. Okay, Muslim bashing or Christian bashing or pagan bashing, or, I mean, good grief, we're even getting it in the pagan communities now, where, this group of Wiccans is some group is saying that group isn't Wiccan enough, or one group is bashing another group, even within the same general expression of faith, even under that pagan umbrella. And that is so incredible to me, from where we started to where we are, that we've already allowed ourselves to be infected with the disease of denominationalism. But we can't, I mean, we cannot allow that in a world where we are working toward peace and love. Then we cannot allow that kind of, we can't allow ourselves to go down that road, because that's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And it's not far from the people we're complaining about. So if a person does something bad, deal with that person. Just like we say, we don't want to be lumped together and stereotyped. Guess what? Nobody does. And if we're saying it's wrong, then it's wrong across the board. Question in the chat room. I'm guessing this is, how do I personally deal with those who try imposing their faith on me? I tell them that I respect them. I tell them that I respect their path. I tell the story fairly regularly, because it goes to your question, and if you'll give me just a moment and hear me out. There was an individual in my temple, and I was performing a hand fasting. He wanted his brother involved in the hand fasting, but his brother was freaking the hell out about the about it being Wiccan. And as chance would have it, my temple member had a medical issue, ended up in the hospital. I go to the emergency room to visit him at the hospital, and I'm escorted into the family room, and the brother was in the far corner. The door to come in was in one corner, and this guy was sitting at the other corner. It looked like a Western movie. Everybody cleared the street. There were people filling this room, and they were trying to get in each other's pockets to get into the other two corners when they saw me and him recognize each other. And in true Western fashion, we walked to the center of the room. We stood there and looked at each other, and I stuck my hand out, and he took it, and I said something to the effect of, I understand that you have a personal relationship with the divine in the person you know as Jesus the Christ. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, I'm happy for you. And not another word. And he watched me, and he looked at my eyes, and then he starts looking at my mouth and looking at my face, studying me, waiting for the punchline that never came. And when his shoulders dropped, I said, would you like to have a seat and talk for a few minutes before I go see your brother? He was in the hand fasting.
Right. Absolutely wonderful
story. How do I deal with someone that is trying to impose their faith on me? I tell them that I respect them. I tell them that I respect their expression of faith, and that I hope that they, and I'm glad that they have a personal relationship with the divine by whatever name they use. Mm-hmm. Because we are not a revealed religion. We're not a handed down, written down, this is the word of whatever. That doesn't exist in our faith. Now, are there certain writers who are more and more being quoted, and that's something that future generations will have to deal with, or we will deal with as we come back in future incarnations. But for right now, we're an experiential faith. We don't believe in the divine. We experience the divine.
And this is, unless I miss my history, the early years of Christianity were very similar, but it was experiential. Yes, they heard, you know, what other people had said, though a lot of the, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you taught this. So, you know, the four Gospels that are in the Early Testament and the New Testament were originally oral tradition based on, you know, observations and everything. But this was, it was all about that. And then, of course, it incorporated furthermore into the letters, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, Council of Nicaea. But I'm saying very early on, wasn't it?
If you look at the Essenes and the Gnostics, now you brought up the Council of Bishops at Nicaea,
right?
And that whole topic is right in my wheelhouse, and it's I'm going to get my pretty red soapbox.
Let me address something. Because I know this is a good one. I shouldn't have fed you that so quickly.
We're 10 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to run long tonight, folks.
Either that or we can set it up for a rejoin next week. Real quickly, early in, we're going to do the old-fashioned cliffhanger, you know. Tune in next time, same bat time, same bat channel.
Tune in next week to hear Lord Terry go nuts about
exactly
the that he did to the church.
What I was going to say, same bat, more bad E people. It'd be like, Reverend Shira says, same bat people. It'd be more like same bad E people, especially on this end of the microphone.
What I was going to say was
earlier in the chat room, we were talking about, Reverend Shira mentioned how it's interesting that so many people use the phrase came home or found their home when they're talking about coming to the craft. And I mentioned that that's exactly how I felt too. And then Missy McLean says that she uses the word path, that she found her path. And I would have to say that my path, my home, when I say I found my home or I came home, my home is a path because it's a journey. It's not a static location. It is always moving. It is always changing. But my home is in my heart, and that's where my heart is on a journey. It's on a journey with the divine, hand in hand, that divine that exists within each of us. So both of those are correct in my opinion. Yes, I came home. I found my home, and that home was within me, and that home is on a journey with the divine. So I hope that kind of clarifies a little bit about the way I look at that.
Yeah, well, when I used the term, I just knew that I'd found family.
That's a beautiful way to look at it, too.
I had found family. Family's not always blood. Family's sometimes choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had found family. Now, people using the word path, and Missy's absolutely correct. I once heard someone say, and I've repeated this probably since the day after I heard it, that if anyone tells you they know the only path up the mountain, they not looking at the same mountain I am.
Right. I wrote a story, and perhaps I'll poured it over to one of my ventures there if you want to go out there and look for it, it's called How Good Is Your Wheat? If you guys out there listening will give me a couple of days to bounce back and get a few things, other things accomplished, I will bring that over and port it out either on the website or on one of my ventures, like possibly over on WordPress or something, so that you can read it. It's something that I wrote years and years and more years than I would like to remember ago. You'll have to forgive the shoddy writing. I could go in and edit it, but it wouldn't have the same impact if you knew that I edited it recently. Hopefully, I would like to believe that my skill as a writer has increased. And I would also like to believe that some of the rhetoric that I use in that piece would be a little less, not, I wouldn't say volatile, but a little less in your face, so to speak, now than it was then. I think it was written like a decade and a half ago. So I was, oh my goodness, I can't say that because I'm only 25 now.
Yeah, well, the frightening part is I remember when I compiled A Corellian Creed in 2003. and I suddenly do the math and went, wait a minute.
That's 11 years. That's more than a decade ago.
Yeah, wait a minute here. Yeah, I was a baby. I did that in high school. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. I did that in the high chair. One Raven says, should call it Off Your Rocker with Terry and Chuck.
Well, that's it. We'll get a squeaky rocking chair sound effect to play behind the bumper music as we sit here under a shady tree in our rocking chairs.
That's it.
Y'all come on up and listen.
You sit down here, you young whippersnapper.
It probably ought to be wheelchairs and walkers, not rocking chairs. But so anyway, we are getting dangerously close to the top of the hour, and it is time to start wrapping up. We did have a caller in the queue, and I got wound, and I apologize to that caller. Call back in another Thursday night, and we will get you on the air. It was not intentional that you were ignored. I got on a tear. And I do get wound up. You can ask anybody that listens to these shows regularly and has been listening to me for the, I'm not even going to say how many years I've been doing this as far as getting
ramped up, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. anybody that's heard has heard Soapbox Witch or LCO on BTR knows that I'm good for it too, or any of the other places that I talk.
So anyway, I do want to wrap up with a final thought. Actually, two. I want to kind of bring a end of chapter to the conversation about to answer your question, Onyx, about the early church being experiential in nature. I will say, as a foreshadowing of next week.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, in fact, my understanding, and there may be people that there may be better history than there was, 15 years ago when I was teaching this, but my understanding of the history is that the Essenes and the Gnostics in particular were very experiential. The word Gnostic comes from gnosis, which is a knowing. It is a knowing that transcends belief.
Yeah, it's not fact.
It's like, I know the sky is blue. Why do you know the sky is blue? Because I see the sky is blue. I experience the sky is blue.
But you can't prove it.
Well, I mean, actually, we can now, but.
But I'm saying that I think that's what we're going with the idea of gnosis.
Yeah, but
we know it, but we can't. It's not empirical. It's not empirically evidentiary.
Right. And my understanding of the divine is that all manifestations of the divine emanate from a single divine entity.
Mm-hmm.
So, that means that all manifestations are simply manifestations of that one singular divine. So, hey, guess what, guys? I'm actually a monotheist.
God likes cosplay.
So, anyway, final thoughts on representing our expressions of faith.
Right back. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were turning it over to me.
No, I'm gonna wrap mine up, and then I'm gonna turn it over to you, and then we'll do the how do you get in touch with.
Gotcha. Let's go with it.
So, my final thoughts are that like Onyx led with, we need to be just good people. We know what good people are. We know what the rules of our culture say a good person is. Now, I'm not going to get into, the commandments or the virtues or anything else. You know what a virtuous life is. You know what it's, you know how you should treat other people. Damn. I don't need a list of rules to tell you how to treat other people. You know what's right and wrong. You know it in your hearts. So be that person. Be the person that you want other people to be toward you, and you got a pretty good idea. And be the neighbor. Be the coworker. Be the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, the child, the brother, the sister. Be the friend that you want people to be toward you. And also be pagan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way that, you know, my neighbor across the street, I don't even know what church she goes to. She may be Baptist. She may be Methodist. The person next door to her may be something different. The person down the street may be, I mean, there may be other Wiccans on the street. I don't know. The point is, I know that I've got some neighbors down the street. I don't even consider what it is that they believe is important to me. And if we get to a point where we're just living our lives and our neighbors and coworkers are just our neighbors and coworkers, and they don't care who we are about our faith, they care who we are as people, then we will step out of the shadows. We won't be those creepy people in mommy's basement. We'll be regular people. And we can take our rightful place alongside all the other religions of the world. I don't want to be superior. I just want to be not fighting it. I want us to take our rightful place and our expression of faith be heard along with everyone else. That's my final thoughts. Onyx.
Absolutely. I completely agree with what you're saying. The only thing I can add is try to drill down to something that I have tried to impress on people. Don't do the right thing because you're afraid of repercussions if you don't. Don't do the right thing. Don't even do the right thing because you know it to be the right thing. Do the right thing because that's who you are. Period. And you have no other choice but to do the right thing. That's where we need to be. It's not even a choice to do the right thing. That's where we're looking for. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because when we make bad decisions, don't make a bad decision intentionally. I don't think anybody does. We make the best decision that we can make based on the evidence that we have at hand. So you make the best choices you can. If it turns out to be a bad choice, so be it. Learn from it, correct what you can, move on. But do the right thing to other people and to yourself. And always, 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 as Bill the Bard says, above all else, to thyself be true. You're the person that has to look at yourself in the mirror. You're the person that has to lay your head on the pillow with you every single day and every single night. You're the only person that has to live with you. So be good to you, too, and be good to those around you. Treat yourself like you want other people to treat you. Treat others the way you want other people to treat you. If we all just understand this is the way we need to be, the way we should be down deep in our core self, if we just realize that's where we need to be and that's where we're going and that's what the divine plan is all about, then we're going to make a better future. You know, I said, you'll see on my website, and for those of you who know me, have already heard me say this, one starfish at a time until the 100th monkey. One of these days, tune in to Soapbox Witch, and I'll get up on that and explain it.
All right, how do we get in touch with you?
easiest way to get in touch with me is go to www.ladyofthecircle.org. Everything that I've got my dirty little hands in is on that website, including here at Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I've got this show that I co-host with Terry. I've got LCO on BTR, Lady of the Circle of the Oaks on BTR that airs on Saturday night, who my lovely co-host and partner in crime and Sergeant Major and the whole nine yards there, my better half, co-hosts with me, although she's currently out of pocket because of our baby son, Caius. Soon, I hope so soon, she'll be back with me because I miss her and the listeners miss her. On another night of the week, on Wednesday night of the week, you will hear the Soapbox Witch, and that's yours truly. You heard a little bit of my soapboxing here tonight. If you like what you hear or you don't like what you hear, come listen. Because even if you don't like what you hear, at least you're listening. And my whole idea is I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. LadyOfTheCircle.org. Thank you.
All right. And you can, of course, get in touch with any host, panelist, guest, anything about this radio station. You can get in touch with us at surn.org@gmail.com. And we pronounce that CERN because it's just so much easier to say than Spiritual Unity Radio Network. But anyway, so CERN.org@gmail.com. Put the host or the name of the show or something in the subject line to help us know who you're talking about. And also, feel free to give us show topics. Absolutely. Now, for myself, I'm Reverend Terry Power, HP. You can find me on Facebook. I am Terry Power, and it shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. For those of you that don't know, that is a suburb of Allentown. So North Copley, Pennsylvania, Terry Power. There's a couple of more people named Terry Power out there, so good name. You can also find the public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP, is also on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. And now, recently launched my blog site, Rev Terry Power HP.com, is now up and running. Some of my articles are there, some of my photography from my travels around the world. I've put up a couple of galleries from Australia and one from South Africa so far. I've got plenty of pictures to go through and start putting some of those up. So take a look. A couple of articles there. There will be more coming. Let's see. And also, you want to find the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook. So, yes, One Raven is saying the Pagan Globetrotter. That is the tagline. That was actually a moniker given to me by Ed Hubbard some years ago when I started doing a lot of my travels with my job. I got the Pagan Globetrotter moniker, and it's kind of stuck. So, and then also, there is the SpiritualUnityRadioNetwork.org, our very own website, which has links to bios for the hosts. It's got the show schedule. Every weekend it will be updated with links to the archived shows, so you can always find the shows that have already broadcast, and you can also find those at Blog Talk Radio. So I think that pretty well sums up how you can find us. Next week, I guess we're going to be talking here on Under a Shady Tree. We'll start off with some discussion about the early church, some experiential versus revealed religions, and a general topic in that direction, if that's okay with you, Onyx.
That sounds fabulous. I would love to go down that rabbit hole. I think that you know, if you may show me wrong next week, because this is a learning experience for me. But if unless I miss my guess, we're going to be able to see where there are a lot of similarities in different religions at the prescribed time frame. Like, for instance, in the early years of the development of the Christian church, in comparison to the early years that we're going through now in the Wiccan faith. And hopefully we can see that there are a lot of parallels there. Now, their personal gnosis may be different, their theology may be different, but the way things evolve and come together, I believe, may turn out to see that it's very similar. That's if this was a scientific thing, that would be my hypothesis. So
all
I
right.
guess next week we will see if I am correct or not, according to our own Lord Terry and his background teaching this stuff. So I'm looking forward to it next week, Terry.
And my personal understanding of it does so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's not put too much, too much onto it, because it all does come down to my personal interpretation.
Well, absolutely, because you weren't there.
Exactly.
Well, you might have been there, but you don't remember it.
That's right, because we crossed the veil, and we are doomed to forget not just things that happened in this lifetime, but particularly things that happened in previous. So, anyway. Let's get out of here and start enjoying this amazing 4th of July weekend. Isn't it great that we live in a country where we can have this conversation?
Absolutely. Yes, it is fabulous. We are 45 minutes or just more than 45 minutes away, at least in our time zone, from it being Independence Day here in the United States. And I am proud to be an American, although I'm not always proud of all Americans.
Ooh-ah.
And, you know,
well,
I really love the fact that we've got freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and all this. And I am one of those people that I don't care if I believe the way you do. I don't care if I agree with what you're saying. But as long as you're not hurting anyone, then I will defend to my dying breath your right to say it and your right to believe it.
Absolutely. Yeah, those of you that want to understand my ideas about politics, I'm a very constitutionalist. I don't think either party we got going on right now has it right, but I will tell you my favorite...
I think there's too much alcohol in our parties.
that could be. My favorite... Oh, the word has escaped me. But my favorite speech by a fictional president in any movie is the final speech that is in the movie The American President with Michael Douglas. And that speech he gives at the end about you want to talk about freedom of expression, you want to talk about freedom, you talk about listening to someone whose words make your blood boil and then defending their right to say it.
Yes.
Great speech, and it is exactly what I feel. I believe in the Constitution, and I do not believe the Bill of Rights is a menu. It's not like we can have I'll have some number
one.
Yeah, it's a package. It's a package. It ain't a menu. Anyway, that's probably another show. Now, we'll put that one down for the week after. We'll talk about it.
we're just working ourselves into a long list of shows, and that's a good thing. So, everybody out there, if you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, compliments, or complaints, that's surn.org@gmail.com.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to stop now. And I hope everyone out there has a week filled with love and with wonder. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Thanks for joining us. You had the choice to do it.
Sorry, go ahead.
You had the choice to spend your time, and we appreciate you spending it with us. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.